1 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning. If you don't mind, I'm going to speak to our young people this morning. That doesn't mean that you adults have to, you know, put in earbuds or turn it off and fall asleep. I believe that we can all hear this and receive from it this morning. But I want to specifically speak to our young people, and especially in that specificity of young people, speaking to our graduates, college kids, because they're facing things, especially these graduates are facing things that they've never faced before. Always had regimented schedules. Maybe there was some deviation from time to time, but it was still mom and dad that led them and directed them. A little bit of a difference maybe for some of them as they change into this next step. Would you bow your head with me for a moment of prayer this morning? Father, we're blessed today for the young people that are in our congregation and our families. We're blessed today with these four young ladies who have graduated high school and now are looking at the future and what is before them, sometimes with anxious thoughts, wondering what tomorrow holds and what life will bring. I pray for your guidance for them, speaking to their hearts, drawing them closer to you, helping them to live faithfully in your word. And now as we look at your word for a little while this morning on a specific subject for our young people, I pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you would touch my mind and my lips, and I pray that you would touch our hearts. Help us to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians 12:18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. Set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased them. I have two nails in my hand this morning. You may not be able to see that very well, but that is what we would call, what people would call, a barn nail. I have in this hand, in these fingers, a much smaller nail. Probably those of you in the back row of any age can't even see that. I couldn't if I was back there without my glasses. I'm not sure I could see it with my glasses. I believe that this is an 8-penny nail. 8-penny nail may not mean much to anybody or to too many people, but it's significantly, you can see the difference between the two nails. One's big and one's small. First time I used an object lesson of this sort, I used it as a graduation where two young men were graduating. One of them was about 5'9", and the other one was about 6'9". It fit them very, very well. Different in so many ways, but made different for a purpose. Made different for a purpose. As I hold these nails up in front of you this morning, whether you can see them or not, I ask you the question, which one of these nails is the most important nail? Which nail is the most important one? Maybe somebody would say, well, the bigger nail is larger, it has more substance to it, it has more value to it because it's a bigger nail. Maybe somebody else would say, well, no, it's the smaller of the two nails because it's more universal. It can be used more broadly and in more different occasions and circumstances. You see, both nails were made for different jobs. The smaller the two nails is more perfect for some kind of a framing work or even some trim work, or at least there's countless construction tasks that smaller nail can be used for. But then the larger nail, the barn nail, it's designed more to hold some heavier timbers together in a barn or a larger structure. If you use the wrong nail for the wrong job, it's not going to work as well. Hear that, young people. They were both made for different jobs. They both had specific reasons and uses, and in fulfilling that purpose, they fulfill their purpose, could we say, perfectly. But used in the wrong purpose, neither one of them will work well. Neither one of them will work well. You see, the lesson is really pretty simple, that God makes people different because He has different purposes for them. Maybe we could go home right there. Understanding that part of it is key to understanding the scripture reference that we've used this morning, to know that God has fitly joined the body together, each one for its own specific purpose. The different size of the nail does not mean a different value. While the barn nail is obviously larger than the 8-penny nail, and it's easy, as you look at the two different nails, it's easy to compare that or to liken it to our young people, who it's far too easy to them to look around and compare themselves among themselves or with somebody else. You know, I'm not as talented as they are. I'm not as capable as they are. I'm not as popular as they are. I can't sing like them. I can't teach like them. I can't preach like them. I can't do whatever the blank is in your life. I can't do what that person does. The world measures by size, by fame, by popularity, and by attention. God measures value by faithfulness. Did you hear that? The world measures value by size and fame and popularity and attention, but God measures value by faithfulness. You see, David was just a shepherd boy. And I believe that four-letter word just is important to the phrase. He was just a little shepherd boy, because the shepherd boy was a low part of the family structure. The shepherd boy was a least individual. He was among the lower set of people. There really wasn't a whole lot of expectation out of the shepherd boy to become something or somebody. David was just a little shepherd boy when God chose him to be the king of Israel. Joseph was a prisoner. God raised him from the prison to be the second in command in Egypt, essentially saving the world, the known world at that time, from the devastating effects of famine. We also find that Mary in the New Testament was just simply a humble young woman, but God chose her to be the earthly mother of the Savior. The nail's value is not in how big it is, but in how it fulfills its purpose. In how or whether it fulfills its purpose. Let me hold these up again. That little eight-penny nail was designed for a kind of work, a specific part of the construction process or the building process. This nail cannot do this nail's job. This nail is three or four times the size of this nail, and you would think that this nail would have four or so times the ability of this nail, but this nail cannot do this nail's job. So if those nails had feelings, I would tell those nails this morning, don't envy each other. Because you are made for a specific purpose. God gives different gifts. Some are leaders, some are helpers, some are teachers, some are encouragers. You know what an encourager is, don't you? An encourager is a very valuable part of the body, a very valuable part of the organization or whatever you're looking at and involved with, because that encourager quite often is the support system underneath the leader and underneath the teacher, underneath the helpers that are out there working. We can't minimize and say, well, I'm just the janitor, or I'm just the doorkeeper, or I'm just the whatever. We all have a place and a purpose in fulfilling the part that God has called us to in His kingdom. Some are prayer warriors. You know, a prayer warrior is a thankless job because you're not out there broadcasting the hours spent on the knees, the hours interceding on behalf of God's work and people. A prayer warrior, that's a different gift. Not everybody is able to be a real, true intercessory prayer warrior, but we need them. I'm afraid to say this because I don't want to distract anybody, but if the devil wants our young people to be caught up in anything at all, it's that they are wishing that they were somebody else. Well, what do you mean? I thought the devil wanted to kill, steal, and destroy. Well, sometimes, for some people, all he wants to do is to distract them to the point where they are thinking, you know, if I could be them. I had a notion to use Brock and Desmond as two examples this morning, but it doesn't work when one of them's hiding. So I'll use my brothers. How about that? I've got three brothers, one older, two younger. We are all four fathered by the same father, carried by the same mother. It's really phenomenal to realize that all four of us coming from the same parents can be so different. I mean, so different. My brothers are weird. I hope you're listening. I wish I knew. Maybe if I say something, I'll find out. Every single one of my brothers has something that is, oh man, I mean, they're odd. But you know what I've come to realize is that the oddities that I see in them, they return the same level because of the oddities that I see in them, I'm odd to them. Why? Because we're different. Even though we have the exact same parents, the exact same grandparents, you would think that we'd be so much more alike than what we are. We have such different things involved with our lives. I don't want to be any one of them. And I can guarantee you that they don't want to be like me either. we don't need to be like somebody else. We need to be exactly what God wants us to be. Now, that doesn't mean that he doesn't want to change us. That doesn't mean that he doesn't want to chisel on us. That does not mean that he wants to keep us exactly the way we are when we're, let's say, 15 years old. But he wants to form us and shape us and make us. He wants us to discover who he created us to be. In the Gospel of John in chapter 21, there's somewhat of an intense conversation going on between Peter and Jesus. You might be familiar with that story. And at the end of that conversation, Peter is kind of placed in his place. He's kind of set back a little bit. Jesus has told him three times to feed his sheep or feed his lambs. And apparently Peter is a little bit bothered by this attention from Jesus. And so he, feeling a bit of boldness, asked Jesus about John's future. And in that question, I can almost see the entitlement that he felt to an answer. And Jesus granted that, gave him an answer. Lord, what about John? What about his future? And Jesus said very simply and very clearly, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Can I paraphrase that? I believe that what Jesus was saying there was, Peter, don't worry about John's assignment. You follow me. Did you hear that? Barnnail, don't you worry about the 8-penny nails assignment. 8-penny nail, don't you worry about the Barnnail's assignment. You follow me. What if these nails had feelings? What if they had feelings? You know, the one of them says, well, I don't want to go into that piece of wood. I don't want you to use me in that capacity. Now, you and I know that that's just absurd. The imagination there just has a hard time getting it because of the absurdity of it. But if we bring that over into the human, we can understand it more. As God, the master builder, takes those nails or takes us as people and places them, and sometimes he has to hammer us into the position that we don't like that. Sometimes he has to place us in the school of difficulty. In a difficult home situation or in a difficult responsible position, whether it's a church position of responsibility that you think that there's no way that my 8-penny nail frame can handle this responsibility. No way can I do this. Some kind of a difficult season in life. The nail may not understand why it is being driven into that particular board, but the builder sees the finished structure before the finished structure is visible. You see, young people, I know, I've talked to enough young people to know this, and you may not be experiencing it in the same way or the same measure that somebody else does, but so often young people want to know God's entire plan for them when they reach this point of life, whether you're 10, 12, 14, 16, 18 years old, or sometimes 20 and 30. We want to know the entire plan before we can possibly step a foot out in obedience. But really what the point of the gospel message and the commission that God has for us is for us to take that step. That step that he has in front of us, that one that he wants us to step out in faith, believing, knowing that he wants us to go this direction in obedience. Just follow him in that step. God, I believe, is saying, trust me and obey me one step at a time. Again, imagine the barn nail saying, I don't want to hold this beam. Or the eight-penny nail saying, I don't want to be driven into this wall. If they had that capability, neither one of them would be able to accomplish what they were intended to accomplish. Too many times, we resist. Dr. Loper recently, in one of their podcast things that they do at God's Bible School, interviewed the pastor of the Nazarene Church down here at Mackey, Indiana. And he said, as they were talking about his upbringing and the call to the ministry, he said that he felt at an early age that God wanted him to preach, but he didn't really want to preach. He said, it's not that I told God no. It's not that I rebelled hard against the call. He said, I just delayed it. Lord, there's something else that you want me to do. I'll become a medical doctor, Lord. You can allow me to be a medical doctor. I will double tithe. I will clean toilets. I will teach a Sunday school class. Just don't make me preach. Did you hear the nail saying, I don't want to be driven into this piece of wood. I don't want to be driven into this wall. I don't want to be used in this beam. And so never being able to accomplish what it was intended to accomplish. But when God calls, don't delay. When God speaks, don't ignore. When God directs, don't choose your own way. I suppose, I don't know how likely it is, but I suppose that this nail, if it was to lay in the toolbox for 10 years or 20 years, it might still come out shiny. I did have to brush it up with a wire wheel because it was pretty ugly. It's still not as shiny as it was brand new. But I suppose that if now that it's cleaned up, if I were to keep it in a dry place, that it would still be shining another 10 years. This one here is not quite as shiny. I don't think it was intended to be. But just because it keeps its shine doesn't mean that it's fulfilling its purpose. A nail becomes useful when it allows itself, figuratively speaking here, I'm not going mad, when it allows itself to be used for its purpose. The same is more true for us than of that nail. God did not save us for us to sit still, merely sit still in our lives, but He saves us to serve. The carpenter that builds a barn knows that every nail matters. You remove enough of the small nails and the structure is no longer what it should be. You remove enough of the large nails and the structure is no longer what it should be. Every nail has its place. Every believer has its place. Every young person, you have your place. Oh, no one would miss me if I was gone. It's a shame that the devil uses that, but that is so often what is used, but it's so false. The ripples of our lives, no matter how insignificant they are, the ripples of our lives affect other people. And when those ripples stop, are removed, you see, God has invested gifts, abilities, and opportunities in every life. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You see, you are not an accident. You are not a mistake. You, each one of you, were designed by God with intention. Every one of you. Let's hold them up one more time here, the two nails. Two different nails, might I add. One small and one large. This one will never do this job, and this one will never do this one's job. And yet they were both valuable because they were made with a purpose. The question is not, why am I not like someone else? But the question is, am I becoming what God designed me to be? I'll give you time to write that down in your mind. Not wondering about why you're not like somebody else, but am I becoming what God designed me to be? Now, there's another nail I want to introduce before we go. This is simply a tent nail. Now, I know that when I bought it, it had a big orange thing on the top here to make it easier to drive in or to hook or whatever, but I took it off so that we could just see the nail. This nail is simple. It's not complicated at all. There's nothing fancy about it. It's ordinary with... Did you hear that? It's ordinary with a specific purpose. You don't drive this into wood. You don't drive this into beams. You drive it into the dirt. It's designed to hold a tent. But in the Bible, what is called a tent nail was used to kill an individual. You can find that story in Judges chapter 4. Jael took a nail of the tent and took a hammer in her hand and went softly unto him and smote the nail into his temples and fastened it into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary, so that he died. You say, preacher, what in the world is the purpose of this nail that you're bringing into this subject? The whole purpose of this particular part and the idea behind this nail is that what God has designed for good can be turned around to be used for hurt, for harm, and for self. And if you want to keep the alliteration going, you can say herself or himself. Hurt, harm, and self. You see, God's given you talents that you can use for His glory, for His purposes, for good, or it can be used to be hurtful and harmful and selfish. I want to challenge you, young people. God didn't create you to be a copy of someone else. He created you with specific gifts, specific talents, specific burdens, and a specific purpose. The eight penny cannot be the barn nail. The barn nail cannot be the tent nail. The tent nail cannot be either one of those. It's all a design specific, and God has designed you specifically. And when you surrender your life to Him, He can place you exactly where you belong and use you exactly as He intended. How do I know that? Well, let me use a verse that a lot of young people try to hold to. It's found in Jeremiah. God, speaking through the prophet Jeremiah, said, "For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil." See, God designed you for good, for His glory, not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. What are you going to do, or what are you doing as the nail in God, the master builder's hand for His purpose? Let's stand together. Amen. I pray God's blessings on our young people. Shield them. Lord, shield them from the darts of the enemy of discouragement and doubt. Lord, give them grace for the tomorrows. That's what we need to pray with our kids. Help them to be used for the purpose that God designed them to be used for. Praise God. It's so good to have Brock with us today. Brock, would you dismiss us in prayer?